important or unnecessary. It's kind of like this thinking of, I'm a Christian, I do my devotional, I listen to a sermon on the radio, it's me and Jesus, and that's enough. Sunday for them, and for maybe for many of us who come to church somewhat regularly, Sunday is just a bit of a different style of day, a break in the routine, and that's about it. I want to speak to that this morning by looking at why observing the Sabbath with the church family is important. And this is a huge topic, and one that I feel like I am just inadequate to explain. There is so much to talk about the Sabbath and how it developed into synagogue worship and how it developed into where we are today. It's huge. It's a huge topic, but hopefully this will give us some direction and maybe spur you on to asking some questions and pursuing some of the study in Scripture for yourself. Now, I know that in talking about why Sunday morning church service is important, how that might seem as an interesting topic for me to be speaking on as the pastor. You might think that, of course, I want you to come to church because I want the numbers. Like all pastors, we want big churches so that we feel successful. And the truth is, that is my pride. My pride wants that too, of course. And there's a battle that goes on inside of me all the time of, you're awesome. No, you're not. You're awesome. No. Settle down. But I would honestly be happy if our church stayed the same size, or maybe we shrunk and new Christians came in. That'd be fantastic. But anyway, I'm not out to gain big church status or for me to become a popular pastor. A crazy thing is happening in me that I've shared a little while ago. The longer I'm here in our church family, the more I care about you and the more I want what's best for you. And I firmly believe that being in church on Sunday mornings is very, very good for us. It's important if you're a genuine worshiper of Jesus Christ. So I'm not interested in putting on a guilt trip on any of you, but very interested in you enjoying and growing in Christ. Okay? How's that for a preamble? Well, let's pray before we jump into this. Father, you know my hesitation and my nervousness. You know how my brothers and sisters are hearing this. And Lord, I ask that you would cut through all of that and that we would hear from you, that we would be guided by you, that we would enjoy hearing from you. Soften our hearts so that we can hear from you. And please guide us for your glory, we ask this. In Jesus' name, amen. So in the Hebrew language, the word translated rested is the verb form of the word translated Sabbath. The doing of Sabbath is rest. And this is what we get from Exodus chapter 20, where Genesis chapter 2 verse 3 is paraphrased. Genesis chapter 2 verse 3 says, God blessed the seventh day and made it holy because on it God rested from all his work that he had done. So God made the seventh day holy. He sanctified it and rested on it. Exodus chapter 20 verse 11 is part of the explaining of the fourth commandment. And it's a short version of that verse from Genesis 2 verse 3. And it reads, therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. So the blessed, holy, resting day of the Lord is the blessed, holy Sabbath day. And also from these two verses, we see God setting a pattern for his image bearers to follow. At the end of chapter 1 in Genesis, we read that God created man and woman in his image, in his likeness. And then at the beginning of chapter 2, we have this pattern that the Lord is setting up. They were to have 6 days of work and then rest. Sabbath rest on the seventh day. God instituted this seven-day cycle. 6 days work, 1 day rest. 6 days work, 1 day rest. And keeping that cycle, keeping the Sabbath, was very important to God. Exodus 31 verse 14 says, if anyone isn't doing what is to be done on the Sabbath, they must die. And if anyone works on the Sabbath, they must be cut off from the community. The seventh day is for Sabbath rest. So what was to be done on the Sabbath? Well, if the Sabbath is patterned after the Lord and his day of rest, what was the Lord doing on the seventh day in his rest? He wasn't tired, he wasn't sleeping, because he doesn't get tired, he has no limits. I think chapter 1 of Genesis, of the creation account, gives us a clue. A phrase keeps coming up in verses 4 and 10 and 12, 18, 21 and 25. And it's this phrase, God saw that it was good. In verse 31 it says, and God saw everything that he made, and behold, it was very good. So I don't think God just went and said, oh yeah, that's pretty good what I made there. He does all things well and all things great. So I'm guessing that on the seventh day, the day he rested, he really let loose. He enjoyed and took great pleasure in what he had created. He loved glorifying himself through his creation in displaying his awesomeness, and he probably celebrated his glory. His rest was celebrating and enjoying his glory. So following his pattern, Sabbath must be all about the Lord, focused on him, enjoying and celebrating him, glorifying him. And that's what Scripture says. Exodus 20 verse 10. The Sabbath is to be dedicated to the Lord. Yes, there's no work is to be done on that day. It's a time for physical rest for oneself and for one's servants and animals, so that physically we can be restored and recuperate. But it's a day of God-focused rest. Isaiah 58 verse 13 says that on the Sabbath, don't pursue your own interests or follow your own desires. It's to be all about the Lord. Passages like Deuteronomy 5 and others, they say it's a time to remember, to celebrate, to worship, to give thanks, to be at peace in what the Lord has accomplished for his people in our deliverance and our redemption. It's a time of praising him and being instructed in his word. All this, not just individually, but as a community of God's people. Psalm 92 was to be sung on the Sabbath, and it's all about delighting in the Lord, being thrilled in him. The Sabbath was to be a time of genuine worship from the heart. So the Sabbath was to be doing God's rest, being all about the Lord, delighting in him, being embraced by who he is, and being there in his rest. But sadly, between the Old Testament and the New Testament, many religious leaders added a ton of human rules onto what God wanted the Sabbath to look like. And for many, the Sabbath just became a series of rules and actions to be checked off on a list, not a day of God-focused Sabbath rest. With the coming of Jesus Christ and the sending of the Holy Spirit, the early church continued to set aside 1 day a week for Sabbath, and God gave direction and instruction to the church about those gatherings so that they would be done in an orderly fashion, not some sporadic weird stuff going on, but an orderly fashion, like it says in 1 Corinthians 14 verse 40, always with the emphasis on genuine worship of the Lord. And the passage that was read earlier, Hebrews 4, helps us to understand Sabbath and rest even more. God's rest, what the Sabbath is all about, is brought by Jesus Christ. Jesus is the rest God promised. Being found in Jesus is being in God's rest. The promised land was a symbol of God's rest for Israel. Just like the weekly physical rest illustrates an eternal rest in Jesus Christ. Sabbath rest is found in Jesus. And when we are genuine believers and trust in Jesus, we enter the rest that God has always enjoyed. The rest that he promised. We are brought into that. Not a one day thing, but an everyday and then an eternity rest. Jesus is the Lord of the Sabbath, and he's the one who has rest for us. This is what Matthew 11, verse 28 to 30 says. It says, come, this is what Jesus says, come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke, it fits perfectly, and the burden I give you is light. We can have everyday rest in the Lord. One person has described this rest in Jesus as a place of blessing where there is no more striving, but only relaxation in the presence of God and in the certainty that there is no cause for fear. Rest in Christ is a present rest here and now, somewhat partially, but with the fullness coming in the future with God face to face in heaven. So this rest in Christ is freedom from self-effort for salvation. It's resting in free grace with no worry about sin, because our sin has been forgiven. Resting is peace with God, free from guilt, free from worries and disturbances. It's mental and emotional rest. What upsets us doesn't upset us as much, and soon, not at all. Rest from frustrations and inward quietness, secure in Christ. Rest with unmovable confidence and trust and leaning on the Lord. Rest from weariness and from burdens. Rest for our souls, relaxing with the Lord, knowing it's all in his hands. There is no fear. Rest with some limits now, because we're here on earth, but full rest coming in heaven. So God established Sabbath, took a whole day and made it like no other, dedicated to God, where God's people gather, worship him, remember what he's done, celebrate him, glorify him, remembering how we got this daily rest of the Lord, and helping each other stay in his rest by committing a gathering for the purpose of his rest. And the Sabbath is still to be observed today. The fourth commandment has not been crossed off. In the New Testament, Jesus observed the Sabbath. Paul continually went to the synagogue and preached on the Sabbath. And then the church continued to meet on the Sabbath for worship. Hebrews 10, verse 25 affirms this Sabbath keeping and Christians coming together for worship. And instructions were given for what that worship was to look like. It's important to observe the Sabbath purposefully, doing Sabbath, which is resting in the Lord. And it's important to do this as a church family, us doing this together. And let me give you a few reasons why. The first It's in the gathering of our church family that we are consistently exposed to our new reality in Jesus Christ. When the Sabbath was instituted, it was done according to God's word. God's word governed the Sabbath. When we gather as a church family, Sunday after Sunday, we too are centered on God's word, the Bible. We hear God's truth preached to us. All week, we have the world's message preached to us. But here, we have God's truth, our new reality in Christ, in God's rest. We have that preached to us. We hear that this is a fallen and sinful world that loves evil, and that we are all sinners living in a sinful world. Yet God saved us through Jesus Christ. We couldn't save ourselves. We had to have a full-on rescue operation because we were dead in our sin, and Christ saved us. And we are spiritually alive, made new in Christ, secure for all eternity in Christ. And the Holy Spirit lives in us as a guarantee that we belong to Him. And the Holy Spirit changes us more and more into loving God and hating sin. And it's here at church on Sundays that we are renewing our minds with God's Word, where God's truth continually comes to us, where our wrong thinking is being confronted by God through the preached Word. When we cut ourselves off from the church family on Sundays, we're putting ourselves into a position where we are more easily led away from God's truth. It's very important that you are here Sunday after Sunday after Sunday for you to hear God's word preached to you. That is important. Another reason why it's important to observe the Sabbath with the church family is because that will quickly determine who or what we worship. If you resist going to church, if what I had just said, there's resistance in you, going to church to be preached, God's word preached at you, if there's some of that resistance in you, there's some good questions to ask yourself. And here's a few. Why can't I dedicate one day a week to the Lord? Why can't I give up one day's worth of wages for the Lord? Why can't I give up going along with what the world promotes Sundays to be? Why can't one day be entirely different and focused on the Lord, and I meet with the church family to worship the Lord? Why can't an hour and a half of a Sunday morning be about God and His children and being with them and worshiping God with them? Why not? Why not? Or you might say, well, that's all legalistic. I don't have to go to church to observe the Sabbath. Well, I would ask you then, what if I stole your car, smashed it up, left it on the side of the road, and when you found out, you confronted me and said, "You stole my car!" To which I responded, "Hey, relax. Stealing? Don't be so legalistic. Don't be so legalistic." You know, this observing the Sabbath, this isn't about being legalistic, but rather worshiping the Lord by being obedient. Saying no to life as usual on Sunday is celebrating and worshiping the Lord and resting together. Who has determined how your Sundays look? Is it you? Is it the world? Is it God's word? Being here with your church family Sunday after Sunday reminds you of who you live for and who you are worshiping, and helps you exercise and live out who you worship. It gets you ready for the week to go and worship the Lord in the other 6 days, and disciplines you to be worshiping the Lord not only this day but the rest of the week. The third one, it's It's important to observe the Sabbath with your church family because we need to know and be reminded that we now taste God's rest in Christ partially, and the fullness is coming. We need to know this. Why don't we have rest from physical pain or mental pain? Why do we still have this weariness? Why do we have this restlessness in this world that we're living in? Why, there's something off and we get it. Why is that happening? Because we are still a part of this world that has been wrecked by sin. Yet we experience a lot of God's rest with the right here and now, with the fullness coming in the future. Our rest now is evidenced by some restful peace, some confidence and assurance in Christ, some rest from pain, from trouble, from struggle with sin. But church, listen, just you wait. Soon, the rest that you have now by faith will be fully lived in and experienced face to face with the Lord. Total and complete rest in the Lord, full rest, rest that we cannot even imagine is coming. It is coming. We are going to be able to taste the Lord full on, face to face. What we get here is just a portion, church, just a portion of the rest that God is pouring on us and will be coming full on when we come face to face with Him. It's here on Sundays that we are reminded that we do experience God's rest and we will one day experience it fully. You know, our Sunday worship services have almost become my favorite time of the week. It is almost, not fully, but almost. When we are singing and praying and hearing Scripture together, these beautiful truths of the Lord and who we are in the Lord, I have these moments of rest in the Lord coming over me, where I am overcome with amazement. I often stop, I don't want you to watch me on Sunday mornings, but I often stop singing and I listen to you sing these awesome truths to the Lord. And I'm like, yes, Lord, here we are. Here we are giving you our praise. Listen to the congregation sing to the Lord. This is awesome. And that is just a taste of what is happening in heaven right now, where everybody is given this enormous worship to the Lord. And we are going to have that one day and get caught up fully in that, totally unreserved giving it to the Lord. Oh, that's going to be good. And this is just a taste of it now. Taste of it now. We can be gripped by how big God is. That's what happens to me often. Gripped by how big He is and how much He loves us. Gripped by His deep peace, and this bubbling of restless freedom gets stirred up in me and I don't know what to do with it. So I sit back down and then I leave and I drive home and I'm like, this is weird. That was awesome back there. Now I'm alone in my car and this is weird. I don't like this. There is something going on here. This is a taste of what is to come. And it's important for us to know that full-on freedom is coming. Hang on to the Lord. Full-on freedom is coming. He is going to sustain you. He will. And the fullness is coming. Hang on. Hang on. You know, when you're working at your job or when you used to work and it was just getting tiring and you're just slugging away and you're like, I'm ready to give up. And then you remember, oh, in a month, my holidays are coming. Oh, yeah, in a month, my holidays are coming. Okay, I can keep going. I can keep going. I can keep going. Well, it's better than that. A holiday is coming. Eternal holiday with the Lord is coming. And he has given us strength to keep going and keep going. Eyes on eternity. It does something to us here and now. And let me just say one more thing. Sundays when we get together, there is something amazing going on here because we are celebrating the rest in God. And these are his people gathered together and worshiping him. Be careful with being critical on this time. Be careful. I am saying this to myself because I am critical of what goes on here. I carry this heavily on me, what takes place Sunday morning. Be careful about being critical of a Sunday morning worship service. Know what your preferences are, okay? Know what you like, and know what is right and good to be doing on a Sunday morning. We don't all get our preferences on Sunday morning. I've told you before, we don't sing the songs I want to sing. All of you would hate the songs that I want to sing. And you know what? I don't care that we don't sing the songs I want to sing. But there's some middle ground here that so many different people can meet in the middle. And we give, and it's okay, and we worship. So be careful. Because also, we're going to be spending eternity together. Right? Eternity worshiping the Lord together. And let me tell you something. You are going to be singing heavy metal worship music to the Lord in heaven with me. You will. And you're going to enjoy it. Maybe. Maybe. One last thing. Number four. It's important to observe the Sabbath with your church family because it is here, this is related to the previous one, it's here that we face the truth of eternity. You know, one day we will fully live in the rest of the Lord, face to face in heaven with him. But to get to heaven, we have to face something that our world doesn't want us to think about, something that our world wants us to ignore, and that is that we are all going to die. We're all going to die. I listened to a podcast on advertising, on marketing, and how it all works. And I was listening recently, and the guy said, talking about death is basically forbidden in the advertising world. If you want to make money, don't talk about death. Don't work that into your ads. And he gave an example. Years ago, a juice company made a billboard showcasing the power of the antioxidants in their juice. They came up with this caption, "Cheat death." It's pretty good, eh? Antioxidants, cheat death, that's pretty good. But it didn't go over well because it brought up the subject of death. And a lot of complaints came toward that company, and they ended up having to take it down. The advertising world totally, totally influences all of us way more than we want to admit and way more than we know. Talking about death is just too uncomfortable, therefore it's avoided. Yet for us who worship the Lord, this life is not it. It's full of illustrations and shadows of the fullness of life we will experience in heaven with the Lord. And we'll have to die first. We need to hear this truth that an eternity is coming for all of us. Death will happen to all of us, no matter how much the world works at having everyone ignore it. This isn't all there is, and what the world is offering is not worth living for. It's with our church family as we celebrate the Sabbath that we face our mortality and we face reality. It's not like we celebrate death. It's sad when people die. It is very sad. And it's tragic and it's painful and it's right to grieve. But as we say at funerals, we don't grieve like those who do not have hope, because we know that the one who is worshiping the Lord, when they pass on, when Catherine Farr passes on, oh man, it is going to be incredible. I often imagine what that's like, that transition, whatever you want to call it, from being here to being face to face with the Lord, and just like, you know, overwhelmed. Yeah. Church, Jesus Christ has secured for us eternal rest in the Lord. And we experience a portion of it now here on earth. And when we die, nothing held back by the Lord. Nothing held back. And God has put us in a church family that helps us live in our new reality in Christ. And a big way our church family helps us is in our celebration of the Sabbath through our worship services on Sunday morning. So let's view them as we should, as a critical part of our week and a critical part of our lives. And let's encourage each other. See you at church. I want to worship God with you. Let's encourage each other in that way. Amen? Amen. Let's pray together. Oh, Lord, you have made it so good for